Shall we start?
Yes.
Okay. Here it goes. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, September 27th, 2025. It is just after 2 UTC as we're starting to record. I am Zam Minter. There's my new name.
Zamboni.
I am Zam Minter. Yes, Zamboni Minter. And Yvonne Bo is with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hi.
Once again, you sound tired. I'm tired. Everyone's tired all the time. There's just stuff.
It's like, I mean, every day, it feels like a bad news buffet.
I mean,
and there's no like stopping it. Okay.
Well, you know, it's this like,
and I don't care what political inclination you have. I'm sorry, but who likes to go and at 10:30 at night get messages that there's going to be a 25% tariff on trucks, right? Think about any of these people in the trucking business. Most of them, you know, I'm sure a lot of them are probably conservative. And you hear that buying a new truck for your business is going to cost 25% more money. How the fuck is that making you feel better? Or that your sales of your soybeans have basically collapsed to zero. And then this government is going to bail out the government of another country that has basically taken away our sales of soybeans. I mean, I don't know. Everything is just every day. It's like,
well, I feel like it's even worse, but we talked about this over and over and over again during the first Trump administration.
But it's worse.
How it was just, it's just nonstop, everyday stuff. And some of it is, honestly, most of it is extremely worrying, but it comes in degrees. You have everything ranging from, you know, oh, look, there's the destruction of more civil liberties to, oh, he's paving over to Rose Garden, you know, and everything in between.
And everything in between, right? I don't know. It's just,
we will get to our news segments in a little bit.
I'm really, so much about the Tylenol stuff, just nothing.
Yes, that was this week as well.
I'm going through those like they're candy.
Oh, yeah. Well, good thing you're not pregnant.
Right. Well, maybe I am. Maybe that's the problem. Okay, let's correct that because maybe you're pregnant. No, maybe Trump suggests, of course, idiotically, that it could be, you know, the cause of. But no, there is no problem with taking Tylenol while you're pregnant.
Right. Except the usual problems with Tylenol that, like, people have been warning for. Yeah, a while.
Well,
like
yes, if you take too massive, much. Yeah, but you know what the massive amount is that could cause liver damage on a daily basis. I believe it's 10,000 milligrams or something
It's something like
it's something like
seven times the prescribed dose or something. Like
correct.
What it has been criticized for before is of all over the counter drugs, the difference between the prescribed dose and the harmful dose is the smallest.
Yeah, it's still, dude, seven times the
amount. You still have
to
take a lot of Tylenol.
You still have to be, I mean, you got to be chugging this like it's, you know, it's going out of, you're going out of business. It's crazy.
I mean, and frankly, like, if you like down an entire bottle of Tylenol in an hour, I mean.
You're trying to kill yourself.
You know, I mean, they're not, most drugs are problematic if your dosage
everything
is measured
is problematic
in
bottles. In excess, okay?
Right.
Yes. You know, so
But yeah, that's entirely different than what was being talked about this time. Yes.
Right.
And in fact, during pregnancy, it's one of the few painkillers that's actually recommended. The others are more harmful. Or are actually harmful.
Or could be harmful.
Yeah, anyway. So we will get to all of the newsy stuff later. I am as usual, going to do a couple movies. Do we need to do news? We could do an all-movie show.
I mean, you know, there's something else we could talk about. I mean, I don't know, man.
Well,
fucking exhausting with this shit.
There are a couple little things I was going to talk about, but, you know.
I'm trying to remember what want to talk about. I'm trying to fucking remember. I think I did make a note somewhere around here. Let me see. Hold on. See if I forgot anything. I forgot. I thought I wanted to.
Scintillating listening here, Yvonne. Scintillating.
Oh, I know. I'm usually, this is, you know, this is how we make people happy on our show, by looking at how we decide how not to talk about shit. I don't know. What did I do this week? I worked a lot. You know, my wife is working elections again. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things about that is that I've been basically just having to work and take care of everything at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the days it's not that bad. But what happened is that on Tuesday was a holiday for school.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden, you know, yeah, I don't have the, let me send my son to school. And that keeps me, you know, I don't have to, I mean, I don't have to be taking care of him. Okay. Okay. So yes. All of a sudden he was here all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I regularly try to avoid calls after 4 o'clock. I just try to. Okay. It's not.
Yeah. Right.
It's just, you know, because at that time, you know, it's after school and whatever. So I try to, you know, most of the time, like today, I try to busy myself with other work that I got to stuff, man, handling presentations and other stuff and whatever. I just want to keep that time to that. But this week, I got flooded with post 4 o'clock calls. Okay.
Right.
And okay. I'm like, and that's okay usually because my wife will be here, but she wasn't here. And my son has to do certain things after 4. Like I had to take him to his music class. And then he had like his tutoring. And actually, usually it's like, hey, okay, just go to the computer and log on. But for some reason, they changed. The schedule got all mixed up, okay? I forgot. Okay. Well, one thing is, I forgot one thing. We had moved one session to Tuesdays at 4. And so at first I said, Manu asked me, hey, so I have work? And I'm like, oh, no, you don't have any. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm getting texted by the person. Oh, shit, that's right. We shifted it to Tuesday at 4. So I have to go and like, dude, go. But I had a conference call starting at the same time.
Right,
so
I'm
trying to mute myself over here. I'm chasing him over there. And then, and this happened on several days, okay? This happened like, you know, the next day, the tutoring session, one of them happened that they changed from like using FaceTime to Zoom. The link was not on the invite. We didn't get the invite. He's trying to log in. He can't log in. So I'm trying to like, hey, what is going on? Where is the link? But I had calls.
Right.
And so like, my wife usually at that time. So I'm like, you know, bouncing in both places. I was just running around like an idiot. And then
were these ones where you were just late to the call, or were you on the call and supposedly paying attention?
No, I had to be on the call, and all of a sudden I had to mute myself and just go running and get on the computer and I can run back to the call.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that kind of call.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, that was like the stressful part. I'm fucking running from one room to the other room, and I'm like, you know, so yeah, I had a doctor's appointment. I had picked this week also to have listen, I scheduled this weeks and weeks ago, okay? So I had scheduled weeks and weeks ago where I was doing this thing to my car, okay? Where basically, the reason I'm doing this is because I was going to keep the car long, okay? I decided to buy out the lease and keep my car, okay?
Okay.
So this I decided, no, I'm going to keep this car. Like, I've done most of my other cars at least 6-7 years, something like that. Okay. I decided I'm going to do it with this one. Okay. So one of the things I wanted to do is because I drive a lot on the highway. And so to protect the paint, they sold me on this thing. I've seen a lot of people do it. They put this paint protection film, which is this plastic that goes over, which by the way is very difficult to notice. Okay. It's not nearly invisible, but that it will protect against small impacts, rocks, stuff, so you won't get the paint damaged and whatever. And so I was like, okay, well, I want to do that. I'm going to keep the car longer. You know, I like to take care of, I'm very anal about that stuff. So,
of course you
and
are.
This makes it actually a lot easier to clean as well. Because what happens is that anything gets stuck on it, a surface, it's like super easy to clean as well. So it makes it cleaning it easier. It protects it. I'm like, okay, so great. I want to get this, okay, from this guy I know in town. And so, yeah, but I scheduled to drop off the car to do that this week. And my wife is working the elections. And then I had this doctor appointment, and then all the shit going on, and I you know, I'm just running around. Like, first I had to drop off the car. I had a rental car that I picked up. I pick up the rental car, go over here, go over there, go to the doctor, go to the. I was like a hockey puck, basically bouncing around the whole damn week. Okay, and working. Because I'm getting, like the other day, I'm like, I'll go to this place for lunch. As I'm heading out, trying to get, I was actually going to try to see at 12, I wanted to see if, I went to the doctor on Wednesday, I wanted to see if the pain I had is still there. So I'm going to try to work out a little bit at 12. So to go over there, I'll do it. I'll leave the house like at 11:30. I was going to leave a little bit earlier. I mean, usually I leave a little later, but I was going to leave it earlier. So at the moment I'm leaving, I get a call about a deal. And so all of a sudden I'm like, I wound up getting there late because I'm talking on the phone about a deal. Okay. All right. And I'm like, damn it. Of course they called me right now. This couldn't have waited. And so I'm going over there. I'm talking. I'm negotiating a deal. I'm running back after quickly because I really was going to go a short amount of time, like half an hour. I cut out after half an hour to come back. Do work, eat lunch, make lunch, clean, whatever. I'm just, I was just, this is, it's crazy. I don't understand. I swear to God. Well, I do understand a little bit. I have a friend of mine who's a single mom. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something, okay? If her head wasn't attached, I'm sure she would forget it. Because that's what happens when you've got a job, you've got the kid, you got the thing, you got the whatever. I mean, it's nuts.
Indeed.
You know, all the shit that you have to do. I mean, single parents have it the worst. I mean, oh, and look, two parents that work. I mean, even that's still a fucking complicated shit show. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right?
I mean, who the hell can pick up the kids to school if both are working or whatever? You got a shift you got to do. It's like, it's a madhouse. And especially with me decided to do something that was really optional, but I put it in this week. And then I had to go to the doctor. That, you know, at that complication, which I had that scheduled for weeks. Oh, God. So, yes, it's Friday. I'm fucking tired.
It is Friday.
Oh, the whole week has been a steady stream of shitty news. Okay? Pick the topic. Any positive news that came from this administration this week. Seriously, what is there a positive? What can you tell me a positive? Anything? Let's see.
No.
Can we say that the Trump administration did anything positive? I mean, they went and they insulted the whole world on stage. That was one thing they did. Basically pissed off everybody. What? I mean, I don't know. Is
okay.
there anything?
Okay. We'll get to the news when we get to the news.
But I'm like, what positive things?
Have they done anything positive since January? No.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was back on TV, so that's like frothy. Yeah,
they didn't do that. They're not happy.
They didn't do that. Right. They wanted to keep him off the air.
Anyway, let me move on to my things. I'm going to give up one of my two movies so I can mention another thing I did this week. And then I'll do one movie. So I started seeing this on Facebook, and I mentioned it to Yvonne offline that I was going to do this, but it turns out in my county, somebody started sort of a local podcasting network thing. And
Sam tells me I'm going to a networking event, and I thought that, man, is there a meteor about to hit the earth or something? Because if there's somebody that I've never heard that wants to voluntarily participate in such a kind of an event, it's Sam Minter right here.
Exactly. Like I voluntarily going to any sort of social event where I don't already know the people involved. Hell, even if I do know the people involved, I have to be dragged there most of the time.
Basically, yeah.
You know, but, you know, I saw this posted by a friend of my wife's who also has a podcast that I'll mention in a few minutes, and she posted this stuff, and I first saw something about it like a month ago, and they were having an event, but I couldn't make it. But then when it came around and it was like they were going to do another something, I'm like, okay, let me check it out. I'll do this because it's called the Snohomish Podcast Network. It's just like a local thing. We're in Snohomish County. If you look at the podcasts that they have that are involved, most of them have some sort of local angle to them, you know, in terms of being about something that relates to the local community. Not all of them, though. They've only got, well, I shouldn't say only, they've just started out. They've just started out, and they've got what? A 6, 7? I was just looking at a thing. It looks like it started out with 8 podcasts. And even that, I was like, there are 8 podcasts based in this county, you know?
Well, I don't know. There are so many podcasts.
I know. They're everywhere.
But here's the thing.
I had done some searches like years ago for like podcasts about the county or the towns around here. And I found a few, but most of them have subsequently gone defunct. These are not, some of these are about the county. Some of them are not, like I said, but, you know, you're right. There are just so many right now. Let me give you numbers because I've been tracking this now.
Okay, yes. Go to numbers. Go make a count.
Okay, because I have another project I've been doing that one of the side effects is tracking this. Of course, my page where I have this is like not loading right now, so I have to find it from another source. Hold on. I have to bring it up manually, because my stupid thing is like dying on me. Here we go. Da 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 da. Okay, so in the last week, 251,284 podcasts updated.
Wow, that's a lot.
And over the course of the last year, updated 4.58 million. If I round properly, 4.59 million rounding. There are a lot of podcasts out there. That's like, you know, all kinds of different languages.
There are so many podcasts right now that on this show that I listen to, there's also a podcast. They are making a little game show for guests, Real or Fake Podcast. Okay, where they make these names up of like podcasts based on some personalities or whatever, and they try to see if you believe the podcast is real or fake. And let me tell you something, they've gotten everybody, because some of them sound so ridiculous that you're like, no, come on, that can't be a podcast. Oh yes, it is a real podcast. This guy, I'm like, what the hell? You know, it's like, just take any name of anybody. Like, I don't know. And it just makes them funny. Like, Give me some real podcast names.
Because here's the thing, like my little project, which isn't ready for prime time yet, but I've been working on, the notion is exploring that long tail of podcasts, right? Because there's thousands of podcast directories practically where you can go and see all the popular ones, right? And you can even search by topic and things like that. But, you know, they're all ranked by popular. And I'm like, okay, you know, there are a lot of small podcasts out there too, sure, like ours. You know?
Yeah.
But how do you find them? You know?
Right.
So my basic idea of the little site I'm building is, you know, pick like some categories, like you want it to be in English, you want it to have been updated recently, pick a topic, things like that. And then actually show you a random selection of podcasts that meet that criteria, not ranked by popularity, just pick randomly. Now, I haven't built the things that let you filter by topic yet. But here are just 10 random podcasts in English.
Okay.
So I've gone from the 251,000 podcasts overall to 177,000 in English that were updated. And here's 10 random ones. Three Pastors Walk Into a Bar by the Athol Baptist Church.
Okay.
Which is discussions between three pastors and a variety of guests on ranging from theological leaders to philosophical thought contributors. So that's one. Round Springfield, that is a Simpsons adjacent podcast where they interview writers, directors, showrunners, and voice actors from The Simpsons.
Okay.
That's actually, it looks like it's actually done by it's related to Maximum Fun Networks, which is a real network. Then we have Gutter Studies by Tom. It's the audio feed for Gutter Studies, a video essay project exploring the pleasure, history, and meaning of low cinema.
I thought maybe this was some guy that, you know, actually installed. Yeah.
Well, you know, the other Curmudgeon's Corner podcast, the one that's on YouTube, is done by people who run an auto detailing business.
Ah.
They talk about other things, but they also talk about auto detailing.
It's almost like, what's the name from NPR? Oh, God.
Car Talk.
Yeah.
Which has been defunct for a while. But yes, I mean, they still play the old reruns. I know they play the reruns. But
I mean, that's just the guys. One of them died.
One of them's dead.
No. One of them. I didn't think both of them were dead, but...
Yes. Anyway, Close to the Edge by Lifestyles 55 Podcasts with your host, Byron Capon, is a show for late boomers, old punks, Gen Xers, and anyone else who likes their music with an edge. Voices from the Bench. Oh, here's good. Here's a good one. A weekly podcast dedicated to the dental laboratory industry, featuring anyone associated with the profession from all over the world.
That sounds scintillating.
Pisces Astrology Bites, Daily Horoscopes with Luna Vega.
Okay. A lot of people like horoscopes.
Bourbon Matters, a podcast about bourbon and the ones who drink it.
You see, these are good names to mix into that game show I told you, real or fake.
Right. You see, well, these are all real.
Those are all real, but you can see how that show would work where you just mix in, you know, other names you made up, and it's whether this podcast is real or fake. The reality is, it's just so many of them, it's just ridiculous.
I got three more of these, and then I'm going to go back to talking about the local podcast network. What Goes Bump in the Night by Trevor and Riley. Our names are Trevor and Riley. We are from West Michigan, and we are best friends who have had a love for the things that go bump in the night for years. After many years talking about doing a podcast, we're finally about going out and investigating the paranormal ourselves. We finally did it. So,
well, we're not investigating the paranormal, that's for sure.
The Haunted Attraction Network, Countdown to Halloween with our 61-day Hauntathon. And then finally, Spiral, a Bitcoin newsletter, now in audio. So there's my 10 random ones.
Okay, but all right. You found all these podcasts, and there were so many podcasts in your county and whatnot.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
Who did you meet? What did they do?
Yeah. So like I went to the first thing, I've actually gone to two things now with them. The first one was just like a social mixer type of thing. It's just get to know people, blah, blah, blah. And met a few folks. And let's see if I can remember. I met Tony from the Crush Your Social podcast, which is about like optimizing social media for businesses and stuff like that. I met Sheila from the Snohomish Storytellers. So that's stories about things from Snohomish County. Who else did I meet? I'll talk about that one in a minute. There was somebody who I'm not sure he's in this officially yet, but I met somebody who does a podcast on RVing in the Pacific Northwest. It's called RV Out West. There's another storytelling podcast. Well, I didn't meet all these folks, so I'm talking about the ones I'm. But then, so, and, you know, chatted for a few hours, you know, with a few of these folks, talked a little bit about podcasting, talked a little bit about other stuff, just whatever. And then I went to a second meeting that was more sort of a business meeting, like what do we want the network to do, blah, blah, blah. You know, and so they're trying to do some cool stuff. Like they've got some services for, you know, it's being run by someone who does like podcast production services and stuff like that. And so they're doing some hosting and some analytics and helping people out with production. And that's some other things that they're doing, but they're talking about doing some, you know, cross promotion stuff and, you know, basically helping each other out with a few things. Anyway, I thought it was cool. I joined up. So this is just a heads up to the listeners. I may do some more cross promotion of some of these folks, you know, mentioning them or them mentioning us, you know, things like that. Now, these are all fairly small podcasts like us. You know, there's no like big, huge, like, oh, my God, there's a, you know, somebody who's, you know, famous and getting millions of views and listens and making a living off their podcast exclusively and things like that.
For all we know, somebody is taking our podcast and probably mashing up the sound and using it as white noise to make people sleep and making millions of dollars that we don't know.
We are the source of the White Noise podcast. It was really us all along.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But bottom line, it was cool. It was cool to like meet people and talk to them and get the one other one I will mention because I think it's the most like us. It was also a member. They were at the second meeting, but not the first. And who also is the person who my wife knew anyway, is one of the co-hosts, is a podcast called Sir. And I'll call them out specifically because of all of these eight podcasts, it's the one that's most aligned with Curmudgeon's Corner because they are also a podcast that talks about news and current events and politics and all this kind of stuff. And it's basically, you know, the way I described it to Yvonne, it's like a female version of us, you know.
You described it to me? When did you describe it to me?
You actually responded to it. No, you did not miss it. You actually responded to it. It's in Slack in a DM to you on Slack.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. Yeah. I just remember that. Yeah, you had that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's and basically it's two women chatting about the same kinds of things we chat about. Some other stuff. They're actually slightly more produced. They were doing like video from the beginning, I guess. And they very frequently, I've listened to a few of their episodes.
From the beginning. When did they start? Could I ask?
They're new. They have not been going like 30, right. 40, I mean, 50 years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, going. When we started, I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, we were on freaking radio, for God's sakes. I mean, the idea of a podcast didn't fucking exist. I mean, we used Skype for fucking long. So, yeah.
We used the two cans with the string in between.
Basically.
You know.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
You know, yeah, they haven't been going that long, but they routinely drop in like the audio clips of the current news to react to. And we only occasionally do that. We have done that, but not a lot.
That's a lot.
It takes preparation.
Work. Like, you know, organization. Like,
you know,
I mean, come on, man. Oh, yeah. I just talked about my fucking week.
Let's see.
And after this week, by the way, I'm flying on Sunday to Texas to go meet a doctor on Monday. Then I will fly back from Texas, get back here at 1 in the morning. Well, the flight gets at 1 in the morning, so I'll get home 2:30 in the morning to work on Tuesday, okay? Well, and you then know, Wednesday, I'm flying to Guyana. What the fuck? I mean, you want me to have audio clips prepared for shit? What the fuck am I doing? Listen, unless, you know, my stock, you know, goes, you know, multiplies another 10x or something at this point.
Okay.
So, and then at that point, I'll hire a fucking producer. But until then, right now, you know, you're stuck with us, you know, pantomiming sounds of shit. Like right now, I could go like, you know, like reading shit. Maybe.
Look, I was telling, first of all, the co-hosts of the Sir thing are Emily and Sammy. So I think they have a Sam too, S-A-M-I-E. I think it's Sammy. But anyway, not them, but I was talking to someone else there at one of the social things. And they asked like, first of all, they asked, how you started in 2007. What's that? 18 years. We've been doing this 18 years and 3 months. We've been doing this podcast. Okay. You know, did I do the math right?
You're right. Listen, their first podcast, I'm sure, you know, and listen, I'm not ragging on you. I'm just teasing. Sorry. In 2023. Okay. All right. Look, I mean, listen, when we did this, okay, the technology was so bad. We need to replay our first couple of episodes for people to listen to how
short.
Bad
they're
it was.
Only 15
they're very
minutes.
Short, in large part because multiple times we recorded everything, and then we lost everything we recorded, and then we had to do it again.
Yeah, well, they're all available on curmudgeons-corner.com. You can go back there and listen to our early episodes. The descriptions are all messed up. They're not, like, good. But anyway, you can go see the archives. But I was talking to this other woman there. And, you know, first of all, she asked, how can you possibly have done this for 18 years? Like, we struggle to keep up the momentum to, like, you know, do one episode a month.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to go with the news this week. Probably our parents took a lot of Tylenol when we were pregnant.
Well, my answer directly, she asked, how do you do this? I said, autism. You know, that was my answer.
Basically. No other explanation.
You know, it's like, absolutely. That is how I can keep up a pattern like this for 18 years. That 100%. And, you know, and
the hell else? No other fucking reason. Hell, I struggle at it, you know, to do it. But, you know, yeah.
Well, and you know, the other thing when they asked, you know, a few more details, I said, like, look, one of the things is, you know, I went through a period where I was. We were doing a lot. We were doing more than we do now. There's some stuff we've, like, technologically, we're live streaming now. We didn't do that before, but that was like one click. Once we were on Riverside, there was one click to do that, right? But like there was a period of time where I was spending like half my weekend editing these episodes and making sure like it sounded right and, you know, I told him, like, I've never done the thing where we record 2 hours and I pick the best half hour. I don't do that kind of stuff. We've never scripted it. We don't do that kind of stuff. I tried a couple scripted episodes once on weeks you weren't here. I didn't like it. I didn't like doing that. I tried writing it out in advance, and I wouldn't stick to the script either. I'd start with the script and then I'd deviate as I went, you know?
Basically, we can't put you on a teleprompter.
Yeah, no, I mean, I mostly stick to script. But anyway, no, the other thing was, at a certain point, I decided, look, I don't need all that stuff. There was one time where I specifically made some changes that dramatically reduced the amount of time I had to spend. And then for the next 4 weeks on the podcast, I asked a question every week. Did anybody notice a difference? Nobody noticed the difference.
And I mean, we did do some period where we did some, we've done some promotions. We've gotten some bursts of people coming in and so forth. But you know what? For the last couple of years, we really haven't really been doing any promotions or trying.
No, I handed out business cards at these events for the podcast. And that's the most I've done in like half a decade, at least.
Right.
Maybe more. And, you know, but the thing is, I think also at a certain point, like I've switched com- you know, there was a point I was like, okay, let's grow this and let's try to get some people. And then I was like, you know, let's just have fun.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and listen, if for some reason, folks out there, if for some reason you find a scintillating and you want to offer us a multi-million-dollar, multi-year contract to do this for a living,
we're all over it.
Okay. We'll figure it out. Okay. No problem. Okay. But, you know, unless somebody's coming in with that kind of an offer at the door, I'm like, you know, we'll just stick with having fun with this.
Yeah. We make $25 a month from the Patreon, which is incredible. Thank you for all our patrons.
Yes.
But it's not exactly replacing my income anytime soon. And, that's fine. We have fun with it, you know? And would I like to have more folks? Yes. But I'm not going to kill myself over it. I'm not going to, like, fundamentally change what we do optimize.
Listen, for all the sometimes we think about nobody listening, whatever, I always keep being surprised
running
by
into people
like,
who hear.
Hear and, like, hearing comments of people, like, all of a sudden contact me and tell me, oh, yeah, I listened to this, listened to that. I always, you know, always catches me off guard. I'm like,
but anyway, at the same time, I had a blast talking to these folks and, you know, they're doing some interesting stuff. And I'm like, sure, I'll do some cross promotion. No problem. I've mentioned a couple of the podcasts. Let's see. Let me see if I can read these. Crusher Social.
Okay. I didn't look at this at that closely, but
yes.
Were these people a lot younger than you and me? I it seems like it though. Because I'm looking at the two ladies on Sir podcast and I think we could be their parents.
I did not ask their ages, but I do not think they are. I don't think we could be their parents. They could be our younger siblings, perhaps.
Like a lot younger siblings.
I don't know.
You're not sure?
Yvonne, I'm 33. I don't know how old you think you are.
Oh, you're 33. Oh, yeah. I see. Oh, well, I didn't realize that. Okay. Well, now that you cleared that.
No. There was a range of ages represented at this thing. I was trying to read all the names of the podcasts. Crusher Social, Storytelling in a Small Town, At Homish, Sir, Snohomish Storytellers, Soul Filler Diaries, and Market Maven Podcast were their founding members. And now we're in there too. And anyway, it was fun. And I think I told them I'm willing to help out some. And if we do some cross promotion, that's cool. And happy to do sort of little reads and whatever. And I certainly am happy to do like the just networking and share stories and give advice.
I just checked on this. Yeah, we would be like their, we could be very, very, very young parents.
Did you check their ages?
Yes, I'm already on one. We could be their very, very young parents. But if we were related, they would be like the oops child. Like it's the difference like between you and your sister.
19-year age difference. That's normal for siblings,
right? That's the gap that we've got.
They could be our younger siblings.
Like the ones that, you know, we were in college while they were, you know, they were like, you know, bored kind of a thing. Yes.
I guess. So,
we are so fucking old. But let me tell you something.
Yes.
Obviously, you know, the effects of all this Tylenol, you know, I've gotten to be, you know, the other day I go and I'm like, I got my niece the other day. I'm trying to do help her with papers for like our citizenship applications. And man, I don't know. Is it just that we're, I'm like, okay, we need to scan these documents. Scan? How do you scan? I'm like, fuck me. What the hell, man? It's just very bright. But I realize that I notice that, well, I guess scanning. I guess I realized that's passé, right? Obviously, it's very passé. Yes. People take pictures of stuff, I guess, or whatever. But the one thing is that, you know, you and me, and look, a lot of people our age are technologically inept. But you and me have been around the block on technology way too many damn times. And so it's still like sometimes I still get surprised how I'm still around people and I'm expecting, you know, because tech is so ingrained into shit right now where everybody is like, you know, my wife is taking this art class. She's going to Florida Atlantic University. She's actually going to university right now, which I must have been a little bit jealous about the fact she's going twice a week, being able to be at school a little bit like right now. Well, one of the things is that, you know, how they're using like iPads and things and drawing and stuff and all this tech in the classroom itself, which of course we didn't do that back then, you know, but I'm like,
We had what was that class where they taught you how to use a mouse and stuff? We had to take
the computer skills workshop.
Yes.
Yeah,
assignment,
we had that.
Send, log in. Assignment one. Assignment two, send an email.
Send an email, create a Word document, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But our brother, but we have always been, especially for our generation, at the cutting edge of a lot of this shit. Right. It comes from our education. It comes from our background.
We went to a tech school.
Went to a tech school. And so, you know, we're doing this shit. I had somebody I know that worked with me at HP who basically is just asking me so many basic questions about some of the stuff. I'm like, what the fuck, man? You don't know anything. The hell? Do any people know anything? And I realize, yeah, they don't. But that's okay.
Well, you know, I've heard some discussion around how the youngest generation is actually much more computer illiterate than, you know, the millennials.
Because they're using just their phones.
But, well, because it's so ingrained now that of the culture as a user who doesn't have to understand it. Whereas, like, for a certain period of time to effectively use the technology,
You had to really understand.
Into the weeds. Now
we're building, you know, building a computer wasn't like in the 90s, it's still in the 2000s, wasn't something that was like only nerds would do or something in a garage like in the 70s. Okay. This was something that a lot of people kind of like mainstream would build computers. Okay. And oh, you'd order the parts, you put them together because that was the best way to get the best deal.
It was cheaper.
It was cheaper, yeah, you know, get more performance, better price, blah, blah, blah. You know, people do that. But I'm like, Jesus Christ, I mean, I don't know. Nobody builds a fucking computer anymore. I'm sure there are people that do, but it's not, yeah.
Anyway, we've taken long enough on this. I'm going to skip both of my movies. I will give the network, it's snohomishpodcast.com, if anyone wants to check it out. But, you know, and it's cool. It does have a local twist though, and it's like, which is different. Like I've occasionally poked around at like sort of, should I go to a national podcast convention or something? Would it be cool to do that? This has the advantage. It's like small, and it's local people.
What are we going to do at the national podcast convention? What the fuck are we going to do?
We'll take over.
We'll
take over. We'll hand out our business cards. We'll become massively famous. We will become the next Joe Rogan. Yeah, you know, they want a Joe Rogan on the left. It's us. It's clearly us, right?
Fuck me. I don't want to be that famous. Yeah, it would be kind of annoying.
You know, you don't get harassed by the paparazzi every time you leave your front door?
Thank God, no. The Joe Rogan. The fucking loser.
Yeah,
you know, I noticed there was an article I was reading this week about people like, yeah, Joe Rogan has this like look to him. And that, I don't know, there is this thing about this look, this muscular look, but it's beyond the muscular where there, I mean, I don't know, there is this, I don't, what word should I use? There's this stupid fuckhead male testosterone look that these guys tend towards.
Okay, yes.
You know, and that apparently there are like these plastic surgeons that cater to that, and that there's a lot of people now, like in the younger generation, that are trying to achieve this look and like this kind of thing. And I was just like, oh God, for God's sakes. Yeah. You want to look like a fucking you know, drug enhanced, you know, steroid enhanced asshole. This is what you guys want to copy? The fuck?
Yeah. Okay, I'm trying to end the segment here. So,
you're trying to end the segment in a on a happy note. Can we do a happy note? Well, you said the cross promotion, cross promotion.
Check out Sir. It's a good podcast. I've only listened to a handful of episodes, but I've enjoyed every one I've listened to. It's fun.
Okay. All right.
And,
cool.
And I will be listening to more, I'm sure. And they know about us now, so they might be checking this out.
Oh, fuck. Well, I hope I didn't embarrass us now.
So, well, you spent some time talking about how young they looked. So they're,
well,
you
know, yes!
They probably like that. Right?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Probably.
You know, but again, you're the old one. I'm 33.
Yeah.
The Sir women are probably teenagers. You know, so.
I'm turning. Yeah. I'm the old guy. I'm turning 55 in how many months now? Fuck. So 26th September. So we got 2, 4. Shit, it's 4 months and a few days.
There you go.
Am I doing this math right? Yeah. Shit. Jesus fucking Christ.
Right. And again, snohomishpodcast.com. We're done with that. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk newsy stuff. Newsy news, 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 news. Oh, and I should mention the two movies that got preempted. Dark Days from 2000, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse from 2023.
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. I don't understand the entire Spider-Man, like, world of movies.
Right.
It's so confusing.
Okay. Can we take that break now? Here we go.
You're listening to this podcast. Do you like it?
No!
Do you want to support the show?
No!
Well, after you have subscribed to the show, followed us on Facebook, and told all your friends they should be listening to, what else can you do?
I won't subscribe!
You can help fund our Patreon at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner. Patreon is a way you can throw us a few bucks a month to help out with the expenses of the show. You know, web hosting, equipment, a little bit of advertising to promote the show, and maybe every once in a while some much-needed sedatives for Yvonne. At different contribution levels, you can get a mention on the show, our Curmudgeon's Corner postcard, or even a Curmudgeon's Corner mug. Fun stuff.
Not fun!
In any case, the contributions help tell us that you enjoy and appreciate the show.
I really, really hate Curmudgeon's Corner.
Are we worth a buck a month?
No!
$5 a month?
No!
Or if you are nuts about us, maybe even more.
$100 billion, even though you don't have anywhere near $1 billion.
If we're worth anything to you at all, send it our way at patreon.com/curmudgeonscorner.
Alex hates, really, really hates, Curmudgeon's Corner! That's really mean, isn't it? But I hate Curmudgeon's Corner, but I really do!
Okay. He really does hate
Curmudgeon's Corner.
He does. He's under my desk right now, like protesting as we're recording. No, one more thing. Since I mentioned that site with the random podcast, even though it's not done yet, the only thing you can filter by is the time it was updated and the language, and it doesn't have built-in players yet, and I haven't built any of that stuff yet. But
you can go to iTunes and other places. And
well, no, I'm talking about my random thing. Like, no, yes. For all the podcasts I mentioned, you can look them up in your podcast player of choice.
Yes. Okay.
For my thing, it's jukepodder.com, jukepodder.com. Right now, all it is pick a language, pick how recently it needed to be updated, and see random podcasts from that. It's a little slow, too. I haven't optimized it for speed yet. But yeah, the next thing I want to do is let you filter by topic and add like little players. And there's some other things I want to do, but it is what it is. You can see some funny podcasts. You can see what's out there. If you want to go check out, you know, Bulgarian podcasts instead of English, you can do that, you know, all kinds of stuff like that.
The old good old Bulgarian podcasts. I know.
I would read you some random Bulgarian podcasts, but I don't know Bulgarian.
So. You know, I got my best friend from HP, her husband, they're from Bulgaria. So they actually visit pretty regularly. So there you go. Probably get him to translate.
Here's a quick quiz, because I know you really don't want to get into the newsy stuff. So I'm giving you more opportunity to delay.
Thank fucking God.
The most common podcast language is English.
Okay.
Guess at number 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Spanish. Number two.
Yes, Spanish is number two.
I'm going to go with Portuguese.
Yes, Portuguese is number three.
Okay.
Are you looking at my website?
No. Okay. I swear to God. No.
Because
no,
you can
I
read
no
this
idea.
Off the dropdown.
No. Okay. See, what would be fourth? Man, it's got to be French.
French is number five.
So I wonder what's it for. Italian? No.
Italian is seven.
Yeah, no. Chinese?
Eight. Chinese is number eight.
And what am I?
Did you give up?
Got French, Spanish, English. Yeah, I give up. What's fourth?
Indonesian.
Ah, yes. Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, the top 10.
Shit,
You did pretty good.
I knocked off 1, 2, and 3.
You did. Pretty good. Now, actually, number four in my ranking is actually unspecified. There are a whole bunch of podcasts where they didn't like actually bother to put down the language. Most of them are English. But, English, Spanish, Portuguese, Indonesian, French, German, Italian, Chinese, Russian, Japanese. I think that rounds out the top 10.
There you go.
So, okay. I guess there's no more avoiding. It's time for newsy stuff. Where would you like to start, Yvonne? There's lots happened this week, as we alluded to.
Nope. Right, Mike. This is very scintillating podcasting, as you're all aware at this point. Me basically just over here filibustering. Let's talk about the Comey indictment.
Oh, no. Okay. Yes, Comey. So, yes, you know, this is one of the things in our annual prediction show. I said there'll be investigations, but he probably won't get around to indictments this year. I thought we'd get some in 2026, but I didn't think we'd already have indictments now. But, you know, the Trump administration has been speed running everything. Their whole notion is do as much as they can, as quick as they can. And apparently, you know, I talked last week about the guy they fired / made quit, whatever, because he was like, I'm not going to indict him. Well, at the time I was thinking it was mainly the, what's her name from New York? Because that was part of it too. He was like, I'm not indicting this because there's no evidence. It's not there. And apparently it was not just Tish James. It was not just Tish James. It was also Comey. And Comey had this statute of limitations that was running out next week, just a few days from now. I believe it's
in a
Tuesday.
Few days. Yeah.
On Tuesday.
It was in September. So it must be at the end of the month. Yeah.
Yeah. And so fired him, brought on somebody who had no worries about the fact that there's not enough evidence to convict and quite possibly no crime at all anyway. And so they indicted him. It's only two pages.
Look, I shared today a summary from this guy on Midas Touch that does their legal analysis. I think it's Legal AF. And he went through actually...
Another podcast, by the way. Good fun podcast to listen to. I've listened to it a few times.
And, you know, he went through the indictment itself, how this thing was so sloppy. It was just, I don't know if you got a chance to look at it, but this thing was just.
I read the whole thing. It was 2 pages long. It was short.
It was 2 pages long. As sloppy as all can be.
And there were errors in it. There were errors in the third charge that the grand jury didn't go to as well.
Yeah, there were errors.
They apparently submitted two copies that weren't the same. All kinds of things.
Aside from that, he actually went through what the charges were and the then the testimony that supposedly was the criminal offense, which, Sam, I mean, look. His analysis is this. I know that Comey said that he wanted to go to trial, but he is like, look, I don't understand how this gets even dismissed out of hand. It's a joke. It's a joke. Right. The damn indictment is a complete joke. There is just nothing out of nothing.
Well, one of the things that's striking just in terms of that, we got spoiled with, you know, the special counsel and everybody going after Donald Trump, because they would submit like multi-hundred page indictments. I mean, I'm exaggerating slightly, but only slightly.
Not really.
Well, some of them were over 100. Some of them were in the 70s, 80s, whatever. But they were detailed what they call speaking indictments, where they don't just give, we're going to charge them under this statute and this statute, but instead they lay out the case.
Right.
There was none of that here. they're bare minimum.
Well, I mean, there's the bare minimum where they mentioned what it is, and he went through that part. The guy on Legal AF, he went through that part, and it was just, I mean, you could watch, you know, it was very helpful because he played the videos of exactly the testimony we're talking about, and it's just like, look, James Comey, is he by training an attorney? I don't remember. But if he isn't an attorney, he certainly is like myself, who isn't an attorney, but has been in enough legal proceedings to know how to correctly answer questions in legal forms.
Yes, okay? He's an attorney.
Yeah, okay. I thought he was an attorney, but I was just making sure.
To know how
to correctly answer questions in forms like this, okay? And the answers that he gave, you know, they avoided any of the pitfalls that you can wind up in such answers that could get you into legal trouble, okay? Right. One of them, if I remember correctly, was specifically about a recollection that he had versus Andrew McCabe had related to certain information that wound up in the newspapers, okay? And, you know, the question was
about whether or not he authorized anybody to be a source to the press.
But the question was beyond that. The question was, like, for example, he was asking him if Andy McCabe lied, and he very clearly said, you know what? I'm not characterizing.
I just stand by my own testimony.
I stand by my own testimony of what I said. He was very careful in his answers.
Well, this also, it was characterized as either McCabe is lying or he is lying. But there was an inspector general's report that dug deeply into this exact question and determined, it was McCabe who was lying. Comey was probably telling the truth. Now, one of the things here is because this wasn't a speaking indictment, theoretically.
But what he did is that he didn't go into the pitfall of answering that about the other person and identifying. He talked about his own, but I'm answering about me.
Right.
And this is what I said. And what I said before stands.
Yes, the other part of this, you know, theoretically, like maybe they have some other evidence because they did not have to disclose it. Maybe they had some direct evidence that something he said there was incorrect. Whatever,
Sam, it is not illegal.
Let me finish this. It doesn't matter because also one of the requirements of the law is that the question that he assume he lied. It has to be relevant to the proceedings he was part of. And it was not, because the hearings that he were part of were, it was a different topic. you know, than the one he was answering about McCabe. So there's all kinds of problems with this, you know, and, you know, and I've heard a number of people comment that, you know, this is all they got. I mean, what they really want, what Trump really want, and like you hear a bunch of these conservative commenters talking about how evil Comey is and how he's a criminal and he needs to go to jail, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that they're all worked up about is not what he was just charged on. They want to nail him for doing the whole Russia investigation. That's what Trump wants to get back at him for. But, you know, they don't have anything on that.
They don't have anything.
The whole Durham investigation dug into that for years as well and found jack. It found a couple of low-level things that he couldn't get through. Like, even when he did indict people, it didn't stick. Like, they were acquitted.
Sam, here's the problem that happens when criminals are trying to investigate other people. Okay? Criminals always think that everybody else is just as crooked as they are.
Well,
and so when you dig into their shit, you are going to find...
We've talked about this
exactly.
Before.
They're going to find all these crimes. And they get really, really angry. Like, Trump is getting really angry when he goes and he sends out his minions to find all this evidence of all their criminal shit. And it's like, well, we can't find anything, Donald. We can't
imagine the idea that somebody might not be cheating.
Right.
That somebody might actually be trying to play by the rules. That someone actually cares about, like, doing the right thing.
And like I said before, and actually the guy at Legal AF as well and some other people said same thing as I did. I'm like, look, I'm not a James Comey fan. I'm not a guy who is whatever.
Donald Trump is his fault more than
Donald
any
Trump
single person
is,
on the planet.
Is his fault. But at the same time, I am pretty confident that James Comey wasn't doing this because of some criminal conspiracy in his head or something. I just think there were bad judgment calls that he made. That's it.
Right.
I think it's nothing more than that.
It was somebody trying to do the right thing who occasionally screwed up.
Right. He's a bureaucrat to a certain extent. And one of the things that sometimes happens with bureaucrats, and I experienced that, is that sometimes they err so much in the side of caution that they cause more problems than are warranted because because sometimes I know that I am one that is a fan, and I've said this many times. That when I do things, I don't want to be just proper. I want to also try to avoid the appearance of impropriety.
Right. Right.
Okay? That means that even if I, talking about this about hiring or contract practices with people, it's like, I will try to avoid the situation that puts us in what appears as a conflict of interest. Okay, I will try to avoid those things, and I think that in his, but sometimes some people get in such a zeal for that they actually make things worse, because they're also as a bureaucrats. Unfortunately, many have a tendency to do things just for the purpose of covering their ass. Because they don't want to later be said that you didn't do it because you were wrong, even though you already knew and you saw everything 10 times that you knew it was. And like, they're trying to do it just because there's covering their ass. And I think that James Comey fell into that trap, okay, to a certain extent, which is a trap that many bureaucrats are prone into. And that's okay most of the time. It's not a big deal most of the time. It's just causes more work, but in this case, it wound up giving us Donald Trump.
Right.
And he probably didn't think he was going to win, like nobody, none of us thought he was going to win anyway.
Right. And of course, again, this indictment, they wish they could indict him over Trump, Russia, and Russia, 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 and all that. But this is all they got. Like some really, really weak case on lying to Congress where it doesn't look like he even did?
Listen, it took for nobody. It's so bad that nobody wanted to indict him over this, including Pam Bondi, by the way.
Yes, okay? Pam Bondi had reservations, et cetera.
Including Pam Bondi, that he had to bring one of his attorneys from his headshot photo book where he hires frickin' attorneys. Because I realize it's like, you know, Donald Trump just hires from a headshot book.
Yes.
It's like, who looks hot? Oh, this one. Okay, great. That's my new attorney. The fuck is this? Okay? So it's like, yes. I mean, qualifications? Who needs that shit? Right? Okay? And it brings in this person that from the cursory review of the work she did looks, I mean, I've had attorneys that, I mean, I've never seen such shitty work from any attorney I've hired. Okay, ever. That's how shitty an attorney this person is. And they went in there and they signed their name to this thing, okay, to do it. Because, by the way, that was one thing that was important, right? Usually, they named her district attorney for that district, correct? So usually the indictment would be signed not by that person, but somebody that works for them.
Right.
And the only reason what the analysis is like, you know why she wound up signing it? Because nobody else would.
Right.
Nobody else put their name to that damn thing.
And of course, you know, she's never been a prosecutor before. Like some of the questions are being asked are like, okay, who from her office is actually going to do the work on the case? Is she going to do it all herself too? You know?
Yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, one of the things that people have brought up in the commentary on this, and I've heard this from a few different places, but I think resonates as well, is that Donald Trump himself, when he's thinking about this, doesn't think five steps ahead. He's not thinking, how will this case play out and will the guy end up in jail? He thinks about that day's headline.
To be fair, in his thinking, he could be thinking the way that he does a lot of his legal cases, which are most of the time lose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he's just doing it just to inflict pain on the other person.
Exactly. There are two things here. One, he's got the headline. He got the headline that Comey was indicted.
Right.
He's been wanting that headline for years and years and years. He got his headline.
Yep.
He's got 90% of what he wants, even if it gets to miss tomorrow. And
he got him indicted.
He got him indicted. He's going to cause him to like have to pay lawyers. He's going to cause him heartache. He's going to go down to the courtyard and be like fingerprinted and get a mugshot and all that kind of stuff. He's going to be humiliated in the same way Donald was humiliated. And that's already most of what he wants. Even if it gets like dismissed right away. And
you know how bad this is? The Wall Street Journal editorial board, not exactly one that is, you know, on the
bastion
left.
Of socialism.
Yeah, not even close. The Comey Trump revenge cycle, it's a historic tragedy. The president, it said here, it's the Comey Trump revenge cycle. I mean, that's basically what he talks about it. That's the headline. I mean, this is a lot of conservative news media have basically said that this is they have bashed it. It's not just, I mean, like I said, you know, Comey is not like he's full of friends in liberal circles either. Not like they're welcoming it, but I think universally the bottom line is this thing is just.
Well, this is
Trump's
one of the
revenge.
Things where, it's clearly Trump's revenge.
Well, let's be clear. One thing that he said today, he said that Comey's indictment isn't about revenge. But look, he fucking, you know, he's such an idiot. I mean, he basically posted that it is revenge on Truth Social just last week.
Yes. Now he meant that to be a DM to Pam, though. You know,
right?
So,
but we posted
it
to the whole world.
That doesn't count. He didn't mean to.
Ah, he didn't mean to. Okay. Well, he did delete it.
He did delete it.
So
which
he thinks,
apparently
that, so
is really
he thinks
rare
that we
for
all
Donald
forgot
Trump.
About it. It's like kind of like in the movie Men in Black. He thinks we got neuralized by just him
right,
deleting
with the little
it.
Thingy.
Yeah, with the little thing. So now we don't remember anything. Right. It's gone.
Right. And look, and he says there's more coming, right? We know he wants to go after Tish James. We know he wants to go, he mentioned a whole bunch of people in that thing to Pam Bondi, to Schiff.
Maybe I should look into moving to Asia. Forget about Europe. What the fuck am I doing? You know, here's one thing that if I move to Asia,
yes,
if I move somewhere like Australia, right? Okay. The thing is that because it's day, right? As it's day over here, it's night over there. So I could sleep through the news cycle in the U.S.
Right.
So, you know, I just have my phone, everything, just delete all the alerts in the morning, right? And then as I go through my day, no new alerts will happen.
There you go. Anyway, he's going after apparently he's subpoenaing the one in Georgia. What's her name? I've already forgotten.
Fannie Willis.
Fannie Willis. Who, by the way, I had not registered. Last week, the Supreme Court of Georgia declined to take up her appeal that where she was removed from that case. So the case is officially, like, in complete limbo. Like, theoretically, some other prosecutor could pick it up, but nobody's going to. So
not right now.
It's there was, I guess, still some limited chance that it would come back, but no. It is an infinitesimally small chance now. I mean, it's not zero, but don't hold your breath on that one. And I guess we still have that case out in Arizona, but I haven't heard any updates on that since Trump became president either. So, you know, maybe they're waiting 4 years for him to leave and then they'll pick it up again. I don't know. But anyway, shall we move on from Comey?
Yeah, you pick something.
My turn.
Yes.
That now it's my turn to hem and haw. You know, there are a couple. You mentioned the Tylenol stuff. I don't know if there's a lot more to say about it other than RFK's continuing to
a fucking
do whatever.
Idiot. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck everything he says.
I mean, the bottom line on all of that is, like, if you actually go to anybody who knows what the hell they're talking about, it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Look, the biggest thing about all the studies, what they have said is that here's the main thing, which is why RFK is an idiot. Why do people take Tylenol during a pregnancy?
Because they hurt.
Right, because they hurt or they got a fever or something that happened, or whatever, right? Yes. So the thing is that they're correlating, you know, this with like some activity, whereas in most cases, what could be the reality is that you're taking it as a result of something that is happening to the person.
Well, and people also pointed out that just if you look for other correlations, one of the other things that's correlated with incidence of autism is older mothers. And as you get older, yes, you just take more painkillers anyway,
because
right, things are...
Because you so hurt more.
You know, there are all kinds of things here. And just fundamentally, the whole let's panic because incident rates are going up. No, diagnoses are going up, you dumbass.
Well, this is the bigger problem, because these idiots think that autism is something new, whereas the reality is that it's already been shown that if you take the diagnostic criteria and you take case histories and you go back 100 plus years, you realize that the incidence was there. It's just that we were not diagnosing it. Simple as that.
We didn't have the language. We didn't know what to call it. We didn't identify it as such.
Everybody was like retarded, a moron, whatever they called it. Just all these things, and they all got sent to institutions. If the person was not functional, they were institutionalized. That's it. They were sent away.
Well,
they sent them away.
And the people who were functional, you know, we called, like, you know, goddamn Albert Einstein. Einstein,
nerds.
Newton, nerd,
geeks.
Yeah, exactly. Nerds and geeks.
Us,
and
we will wind up, we're the fucking nerds.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a cartoon, like, you know, there are a number of cartoons like this, but one that I remember offhand is, you know, it had, like, this kid and his, like, dad or somebody, and the dad's saying, you know, back in my day, there was no such thing as this autism stuff. Now leave me alone so I can play with my train sets. you know, and it's like, no, it's highly genetic, and there's been a huge increase in, first of all, you know, what we even call it, like the diagnosis is a much broader range. Back a couple decades ago, it was only the most severe, most profound cases that would ever be called that.
Right.
And now, like, yes, you still have some of those profound cases. You also have you and me, you know, and plenty of people that, you know, it's insulting. It's stupid. It's going to cause more harm. I mean, like as pointed out, simply telling people to avoid Tylenol is going to cause more harm to both mothers and babies simply because they don't take care of it when they have a fever.
Oh, totally.
And that in and of
probably going to cause even worse things to the mothers and the child. The fucking idiots.
So. Okay, we had Tylenol. We also you also mentioned in passing Jimmy Kimmel coming back. The one thing I'll say about this, you know, you mentioned this as the potential good news. It wasn't something that the Trump administration did, but it was a successful walk back. You know, there was pressure put on over this. I mean, you know, like you said, some conservatives were even saying Comey was a line too far. Even more were saying Kimmel was a line too far. You had Ted Cruz coming out saying, what are they
fucking
doing?
Fucking Tucker Carlson.
Right. Saying, you know, this is inappropriate. We should not be doing this. This is going to, I mean, sometimes it was couched in this will come back and hurt us when the liberals are in charge again because they'll do it to us.
Well, they're right.
But even aside from that, it's like there was a massive pressure campaign put out. There was the whole like people going out and saying they're canceling Disney Plus and canceling other Disney services.
Listen,
and things.
Kimmel
you
did
said
a great
you were
job.
Canceling
listen,
something.
Listen, Kimmel did a great job. I watched it. Okay, he actually did a very good job
back.
That day.
I saw clips. Yeah. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I watched it on YouTube. It's like whatever. He did a really good job. Okay, by the way,
right?
Of talking
but he put out
it.
The whole episode on YouTube. And I watched a few seconds here and a few seconds.
But look, I watched the whole thing because I started watching it and I got into it because, you know, one of the things about it is that, look, he was very emotional. Okay. All right. About right. it. He was very emotional because a lot of people gave him a lot of support and a lot, and you know, he did explain, by the way, that the dialogue with the company wasn't like, you know, he was very gracious. And I do think that he did a really good job of also eviscerating Trump and his and Brendan Carr and his idiots for it. So he didn't go easy on them. And he did a really good job that day of talking about it. The one thing I found hilarious was, yes, Disney did place a condition on me and he pulled out this piece of paper. And the piece of paper was, okay.
How to reinstate your account.
In order to reactivate your subscription, please go to your Disney Plus app and press over here. He actually heard the instructions in order to reactivate your subs. That was hilarious. I fucking let the floor laughing with that one, which, by the way, I did. Okay.
You reactivated whatever you canceled.
Yes. Hey, they did it. I mean, what the hell? I think, okay, you know, that's fair. You know, they did actually listen. A lot of places don't.
You had canceled some ESPN thing, right?
I canceled this bundle that included ESPN Plus and Hulu, yes. And so it's two things that we do watch, okay? So, and it was like, basically, I was like hitting myself in the balls with a hammer because I'm the one that watched pretty much both of those, okay? Mono is the one that watches Disney Plus, which is why I didn't cancel a Disney Plus one for him because I was just like, whatever. But, you know, I also did write an email to Bob Iger calling him a pussy.
Okay.
Basically.
I didn't
say it exactly. Those words. I was a little bit more. I basically said, I'm sorry. You are the CEO of the multi-billion dollar company. Why are you letting these people, like, you know, basically let the tail wag the dog? And by the way, which is finally what they did with Sinclair and the other people that took the show off the air. They basically went back to them and said, hey, you got an affiliate contract that you put the damn show back on the air, or you know what? You're going to have consequences. And here's a reality. They need ABC content more than they need damn stations.
Right. So, well, this is a lesson, by the way, that applies more generally. Like, the folks who have stood up have generally won.
Won!
When the New York Times fought back, they won. Harvard fights back, they win.
They won.
The law firms that did not capitulate won.
The law firms that didn't sign Eric, they all won, all of them.
Whereas all of the folks who ended up being like, oh, yes, let's go along to get along, let's do whatever, most of them are getting screwed by it. Maybe some not immediately, but in the end, you know, you are basically...
You're better off fighting than submitting yourself to this bullshit.
Now, you know, I mean, maybe it's not universal. I mean, like, we've talked about the advantages, like, you know, Apple gave him a handful of, like, token things, and they got away from some tariffs.
But you see, the thing is, but look at the... Those are different moves. You see, because the thing is, he wasn't really demanding... It wasn't, like, one of these, like, demands like this, right? What was it? He went, and they're like, hey, he's doing these trade actions that are hurting us, right? Why don't I go with a little orb and a gift and, like, make him look good, okay? Because he likes the orbs, okay, for whatever the hell reason. And then that way he won't bother us, okay? So they went and they proactively kind of, like... Just well, there, it wasn't. There it wasn't. Folks, it wasn't the capitulation to like at the, you know, like when
well,
he's coming
lot of
to
folks,
you.
Even when they have sort of capitulated to theoretical demands, a lot of folks have been smart on that and sort of agreed to do things they were already doing
exactly or shit, you know, like that. You gotta
make him think it's a win, but really you haven't changed a damn thing.
Right, exactly. So stuff like that, there are certain maneuvers, but when he comes in a direct attack like that, like what happened to Harvard or these, the problem is that you can't just roll over, because bullies, you know, when you roll over, they'll come back and bully you again and again and again. That's what they do. That's the way it works.
Right.
So, speaking
of bullies, next item. The Russians have been sending drones and fighter planes all over Eastern Europe. Well, not even just Eastern Europe, Northern Europe, too. What do we think? Oh, and near Alaska as well, by the way, although they haven't actually gone into U.S. airspace.
Well, what I heard is that the last message that the Europeans sent to Putin was, send another one of these fuckers, we're going to start shooting them down. That was basically the last message. You want to keep at this? We're going to start shooting these down. And now, all of a sudden they stopped after they said that.
Interesting. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe they're just gearing up for it.
Maybe.
But I mean, I think it was a test. And and at first it was looking like they're not doing jack. You know, but like you said, at a certain point, they were like, no more. Donald really sort of kept out of it. It's like, it's up to Europeans, do it, you know, whatever. He did
Donald
say they should.
Donald went to the UN this week and went and like did a complete 180 on everything. I mean, what the hell? And the statement that he issued, well, I know it's a usual, like, Donald meets with somebody, and then the next thing he says is whatever the hell he talked to this guy. He said that Ukraine can take back all, that he believes that Ukraine could go and reclaim back all their land. I'm trying to find a headline. There's this one. I'm not sure from what news source this is, but it said, massive change in Trump's stance on Russia emerging. Trump calling Russia a paper tiger and proclaiming that Ukraine can win are just some indicators of a big policy shift. I don't think that is. That's what it sounds like. But it's really just him, you know, parroting the talking points of the last meeting. And that,
well,
you know,
with a couple of important exceptions that he did, both in terms of the airspace incursions and with this, he said he thought the He thought Ukraine could push back the borders with the help of the EU.
With the help of the EU,
not the help of the US. The U.S.
Right.
He was not offering for the U.S. to do any more.
But he was basically bailing out. But at the same time, he wasn't saying that Ukraine should accept a peace where it was like right now. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So. No, I mean, it's definitely a change. But again, I wonder, will it last a week? 2 weeks? When's his next meeting with Putin?
You know? Yes. I mean, that is the thing, right? When is the next call with Putin? Then all of a sudden, you know, we're back. And, yeah. That is a problem. Yes. I don't know.
But, you know, since we're lightning rounding this, essentially, this will all be solved because Hegseth has called all the generals to Quantico.
Oh, fuck this asshole. Jesus Christ. And apparently, I saw a headline in the Washington Post talking about this. Basically, it's new details emerge on Hegseth's unusual mass gathering of top troops. What is expected to be a short lecture on the warrior ethos. This stupid motherfucker who, has he even served in the military?
I think he did. Yes, actually.
Did he?
He's in, like... Something reserves.
Like what? Like, the reserves? That's what he did?
Let's see. He does have some. Hold on.
Okay.
We're both looking it up
because I don't know.
Army National Guard.
He's a fucking National Guardsman? No, he said U.S. Army and then Army National Guard. So let's see.
Okay.
I guess he was a major. Okay, so I guess he did. Okay, I didn't realize that he actually was.
2003 through 2021, with a couple gaps, he did a variety of stuff. Yes. So, yes.
Okay, all right. But this guy, Mr.
He got a bronze star in Iraq.
This is such horseshit.
Well, you know, there was speculation at first that, oh, he's bringing them all in for a loyalty test, whatever, or this is preparation for a coup, or all kinds of things. It seems like, I mean, who knows what will happen, but it seems like it's much stupider than that. Although he is still exercising the actual, like, you all have to come from wherever in the world, be here in person. So he's exercising sort of that power over all the generals as sort of... You know, again, one of these testosterone things, I guess.
All these guys and fucking testosterone. I swear to God, Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, he's such a loser.
But, people have pointed out there are a couple things here. One, of course, national security concern, having all these people at the same place at the same time. It's like the entire leadership of the U.S. military physically located in one place.
How could that be a fucking problem?
Second, and by the way, apparently just travel back and forth for all of these people for like the half hour meeting he's planning or whatever, something like $22 million.
How many people are coming into the meeting? Do we know?
There are 800 actual generals, plus they're bringing members of their staff as well. Some of them are taking last minute commercials. Some of them are taking military flights, which are even more expensive. You know, so we're talking like millions of dollars. And someone also pointed out that the timing coincides with another topic we'll have in a couple minutes, the possible government shutdown, which if it happens would strand a lot of them and a lot of them wouldn't be able to get back easily because their funding for travel would be cut. When they need to go back to wherever they're posted. We'll
see
what happens with that.
Well, that's one thing we didn't put on our topics. Sam, we're going to get a shutdown. We are going to get a shutdown. And the reason we're going to get a shutdown, I think, goes to... The one thing it reminded me is Elon Musk going to these data centers and Twitter after he took over and him just pulling cables to see. Oh, you see, nothing broke. Really nothing needed. Broke. Nothing broke until all of a sudden shit broke. It's kind of like the same thing. Trump is in this active mode right now with a lot of the things that he's doing, including this, to see at what point is he going to break something. Now, the problem is, of course, with a lot of these things, is that when it starts breaking, because of how, you know, how aggressive the actions he is doing, it will start breaking majorly.
Well, look, there's lots that's broken already, right? But they've pre-announced that instead of furloughing people, they're just going to straight up lay off people with no intention of bringing them back. Once
well,
we
they're thinking
the
that. Well, they're saying that, they're saying that's the threat. Like right now, that's what they want to do.
But meanwhile, this week they announced they were bringing back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that were laid off by Doge earlier in the year because they realized they actually needed them. I mean, we're gonna have a shutdown, and this is one of the things, by the way, that Schumer said was one of his reasons for saving the Republicans from the shutdown earlier in the year, was that he was afraid they would take advantage of it to just shut down even more than they had to. It was giving the Republicans more leverage to more easily shut down parts of the government they don't agree with. They've been doing that anyway, but it will give them an excuse.
I don't understand what leverage. What are you talking about? He's doing everything he wants, like right now anyway. Fuck that shit. Might as well just, you know, listen, again, it's what we talked about earlier. You don't give in. You don't fuck give in. Fuck this shit.
Right. Yeah. Even if you lose in the end, you gotta fight.
Yeah.
You know, you got to show that you care about it, that you stand by your principles, etc. And I think this time, at least initially, who knows what things will look like if we have a shutdown that drags out a while. But Schumer seems to be a little bit more along the lines of we're going to let this happen. We're not going to bail them out, or demands.
You can't. Right. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that Schumer and Jeffries already at this point have heard pretty loudly from their constituents, pretty loudly, about how pissed off they have been at their being just not aggressive enough.
Right. Although even that, then on the Sunday shows this weekend, this last weekend, when they were asked about, well, we're going to demand XYZ of the Trump administration in order to get our support to do this. And they rattled off a list of things they want and things that Trump has said, no way in hell, fuck you. But,
well, yeah.
But the interviewer asked them, well, okay, but if Trump doesn't give you that, then what? Do you stand by this and let the government be shut down indefinitely? And they hemmed and hawed. They did not have an aggressive answer to that. They did not say, we will hold the line until Donald Trump gives in or anything like that.
I will say this. Here's one thing that I will say that Trump caves before anybody else. Because
he usually does. Taco.
Because he usually does. Yeah, it's Taco. So I think Trump caves before anybody else. So, by the way, something else we hadn't mentioned. Elon Musk and Prince Andrew named the new Epstein files. How about that?
Yeah. Well, we knew about Andrew.
But Elon. There you go.
But Elon.
Good old Elon.
And to be clear, the thing that was mentioned was he was supposed to go to the island, and someone has a little note, is this still on? So it's not actually like proof Elon did anything, but yes, of course.
But yeah,
He was planning on it. And look, Kara Fisher, what's her name?
Kara Swisher,
commented on Blue Sky, I think, about this. Look, this is just the reality. All of those Silicon Valley folks were being wooed by Epstein. He was trying to get into their good graces. He was flying them to the island. It's like all over Silicon Valley. Like, who else was mentioned? It wasn't just Prince Andrew. It was Peter Thiel was in the release today. Bannon was on the release today.
Bannon is on the list.
Yes, Steve Bannon was on the list. You know, so drip, drip, drip on the Epstein stuff. you know. Oh, and Donald Trump was quoted. There was a report leaked. This is not on tape or anything, but leaked where Donald Trump was getting increasingly upset about all the Epstein stuff and said to people around him, look, people don't understand how different it was in Palm Beach in the 90s. And so, of course, the follow-up question is, was, please explain exactly what was different.
What you mean, what you 90s. Mean.
Yes.
Look, let me tell you something. I don't know what the fuck he's still talking about. I lived out here in South Florida since the late 90s, okay? I'm sorry, but yes, there was a lot more cocaine and booze parties, you know, whatever. This thing that he's talking about banging, like, you know, having like sexual prisoners, you know, basically sex trafficking underage girls. That was not normal.
You weren't invited to those parties? Is that what you're telling me?
I was not invited to those parties, no. I was invited to other parties where other interesting stuff happened, but I can assure you that the women were of age.
Okay.
The women I met were definitely well above age, probably some even older than I was at that time.
Okay, very good. Yes, so we had that. I'm clicking off the list. We got Kimmel, we got Tylenol. Harris's book is out.
Oh, fuck Harris's book. Whatever. I don't care. You know what? I'm like, I heard a couple of things about it. I'm just like, why the fuck? I don't even want this book. I'm just fucking burned a fucking book. Burn her book. Burn all these fucking books. I'm so done with them.
I can see that. You know, and it's like, it's, you know, as someone asked, like, why? Why would you do this book right now? How is that helpful to the future? And, you know, someone answered, look, the easy answer to why,
money.
Someone put a big ass pile of money in front of her to do the book. Okay. You know, let's not overthink it, you know?
I get it, but it's just, the book is just, a couple of the comments I heard, which one was about Biden and one was about Buttigieg. And I was just like, oh, fuck, just burn this fucking book. Just take them all, put them all in a shredder, or just whatever.
I think it's interesting getting the insights. I think it's still like, you know, it's all about missed opportunities, I think. Like, there were so many places where I know you sometimes disagree on this and we disagree. I think she could have won if she'd made a couple of choices differently.
I agree, but at the same time, I think it's possible, but look, man.
It was so close. It was so close in the end. So... anyway, then we talked Trump about the UN. We talked about Russia. We talked about Hegseth. We talked about Comey. There are two more things, and then we'll wrap it up. Trump did an executive order on domestic terrorism that was talking about Antifa and stuff like that, but basically worded everything widely enough that basically anyone who disagrees with Donald Trump could be interpreted as a domestic terrorist. Now, as with many of his executive orders, it's unclear how much, if anything, is real based on it and what's legal and what's not, and things will go to court. But, you know, in many cases, it has the effect anyway, even if in the end it's determined to be an overreach of power. And the Supreme Court likes this, a lot of the stuff at this point. So who knows? But it's all very, you know, I talked
it's
last
so
week
broad.
About all of a sudden,
it's just ridiculous. I'm just like, whatever.
All,
I mean, yeah.
All of this
I mean,
stuff is
declared Antifa a terrorist organization. Great. Well, send, you know, go and close their bank accounts and send a notice to their headquarters. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's all just dangerous, slippery slope stuff, though. And it's all tied into
it's
this
just another
Donald
one of these
Trump
fucking
pushing limits as quickly as he can. And finally, new tariffs. You mentioned trucks. But there's also furniture.
There is bathroom vanities, pharmaceuticals. Now, he's doing a whole bunch of these tariffs using another authority, which he believes is which they believe is more difficult to be legally challenged. But I think a whole bunch of those is still going to be legally challenged anyway. They just haven't been at this point. But it's just, it's like I said, he's just pulling cables from the back room to see until he can fucking, like, you know, really, you know, break something. And until something really breaks something and a fire alarm starts going off and shit starts, you know, the shit storm starts, then he won't stop doing it.
Well, and the problem with that approach in terms of this that's different than pulling out cables and servers is that you don't, if you're waiting for the cliff where everything gets completely destroyed in one moment. First of all, that'll be really dramatic when it does happen. But before then, you've just got this degradation that's happening the whole time, where it's not.
It is a degradation. Sudden... Look, today, Sam, I went, you remember, I think I mentioned about the coffee I buy normally.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to buy some more coffee today.
Yes.
It's double the price right now of
Again,
what I used to pay.
Because it doubled before already, right?
Yeah, no, it was up 50%. Now it's double.
Okay.
It's double the price.
Yes.
I mean, and look, I can afford, you know, a $22 bag of coffee that was used to be $11 or $12. Okay, fine. I ordered more. But, you know, we've got people that are, listen, CarMax went and announced that sales in, you know, people that have lower incomes buy used cars. That's just the reality, right? Okay? And CarMax sales, like, dropped off a cliff in August, okay? 20%. There's a massive drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep being all these signs all over the place of these things. It's like, yeah, you know, people talking about food prices being screwed, a number of places reporting lower demand. It's just, there's just all these, you don't have one big massive thing, but there are just all these warning lights are flashing in different places. Okay. And, you know, you've got them. It's crazy. On one side, they talk about how the economy's great, but then they must be freaking out because then they got this guy, whatever, that they put on the Federal Reserve saying that we need to act right now before the economy crashes. So which one is it, motherfuckers? Okay? I mean, can you explain to me which one it is? Because I'm not sure. What side, it's great. All this is working, the planet's all is awesome. And then on the other side, you guys, Fed, cut, because everything's going.
Yeah. The thing is, with the gradual, like, spread out over the course of 4 years, getting worse and worse and worse over the course of 4 years, it's harder to identify, like, that moment. We've talked on the show numerous times about, like, the problem with delayed effects, where people, like, you know, don't tie the bad thing they're experiencing to the decision that some politician made three years previously. Right. So you have all sorts of those problems. But the way they're going, at some point, they are going to hit one of these things where it's just like, you know, things go downhill really fast at some point. And then it's going to be, the recovery is going to be so long and so painful because it's so bad. I mean, I've crossed my fingers that that doesn't happen, but they're doing everything is the
high-risk scenario. They're doing everything possible
scenario.
To fuck up the economy. I mean, it's like, now, you know, they're literally doing everything possible to fuck up this economy.
But Yvonne, we're making so much income off the tariffs, and we're going to bring all that manufacturing back to the U.S. It's going to revitalize everything after a little bit of pain.
I don't know if you read this the article that the New York Times did interviewing the guys that got deported to Korea from the Hyundai factory.
Yes, I did. I passed it along.
You think they want to come and invest in this country and further construction? How motivated are they to continue investing in the U.S.?
not. I mean,
yeah.
Like there's been much reporting about how the Korean specific, not just those individual Koreans, but the Korean government, Korean industry in general are like, hold up, pause. We have to completely rethink everything we were doing. You know, the U.S.
so
is not a safe place to go right now.
To invest. And for us to go and send our people and invest. It isn't.
Right. And they're not the only ones.
No.
Obviously. I mean, oh, did we even mention the $100,000 H-1B thing? You know?
Oh, God, didn't mention that one.
I think I may have mentioned it in passing last week. I'm not sure. But yeah, again, like this is Trump's whole idea is, you know, he doesn't want this. He doesn't want the international investment in the end. I mean, he backtracked a little bit on the Koreans. He was trying to, like, the administration was like,
he was trying to, like, right now. But it's like one of those things after you did, I mean, after you did that, that they don't want to do it.
Right. Well, and
trust has been broken.
The trust has been broken. But fundamentally, like, in the end, you know, he may be temporarily trying to backtrack on that, but he doesn't want Koreans here.
No,
you know, he doesn't want anybody here, but you know, and you know, again, you know, he imports all kinds of Eastern European wives. He has no problem with Eastern Europeans, you know, and it to deny it is fundamentally racist is like at this point is insane. Like it is a white nationalist, white Christian nationalist view of what the country should be, and that everybody else shouldn't be a real citizen, shouldn't be here at all. If they are here, they should be, you know, second class, like, and clearly so by law, you know?
Right.
And that's where all this comes from. And yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. You guys all know curmudgeons-corner.com. Oh, we haven't talked about TikTok, the TikTok deal. I realize there's some reasons why you might not be able to, but there.
Talking about the TikTok deal.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, it's still not officially confirmed in all the places that need to confirm it, specifically China. But anyway, curmudgeons-corner.com. You can find our archives. You can find our transcripts of old shows, all the ways to contact us, all the fun stuff. I actually watched somebody at that podcast event try to go from curmudgeons-corner.com and figure out how to subscribe from there, and they had difficulty. I did it for them, but you know, I have to re-examine like the link to like iTunes and stuff like that. They just got really confused. So like
okay.
At some point I may have to re-examine how all that works to make it easier, but, and maybe add a couple more services. I don't know. Cause like we're on all of them, but like I only include links to a couple, but anyway, you can find out how to subscribe. You can, if you can figure out the icons and click on the right things and if they actually work. Cause like, yeah, I set those stupid links up like 10 plus years ago. Like, I haven't checked them lately, you know, but you can just look up Curmudgeon's Corner in any podcast player. Of course, if you're listening to this, you probably already know this. Anyway, all of our stuff. And importantly, you will find a link to our Patreon where you can give us money at various levels. We will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug. And importantly, at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask us, we will invite you to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a whole bunch of other people are chatting throughout the week. And Yvonne, what is a highlight from the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack that would make people want to join that we have not talked about on the show?
Well, this is something that you shared, okay?
Okay, yes.
Oh, no, 911 caller. Thought a coconut was an explosive device, police say. Police in Washington State said a park goer called 911 to report a potential explosive device, but it turned out to be a coconut. The Mukilteo Police Department said a 911 caller...
Yvonne.
What?
Mukilteo. It's Mukilteo.
Buck... Buckle T.O., okay, police department, said a 911 caller on Tuesday. You, all these fucked up names, places around you, God's sakes. Anyway.
Are you disparaging Native Americans?
God, no. I love Native Americans. Okay, you know, good, great people. Muckle T.O. Caller on Tuesday reported finding a coconut in Lighthouse Park that appeared to have a drilled hole, a fuse, and black powder inside. Officers temporarily closed the park and boat launch, which sits on Puget Sound, north of Seattle, to investigate. Officials ultimately determined the coconut was not an explosive device. The park and boat launch were quickly reopened.
It's not Puget.
Okay.
Puget.
Fuck. Why is it not for anyway? All right, Puget Sound. The hell. We would like to thank the public again for their patience, and not, as we know, it caused some inconvenience. We treat these incidents with utmost caution and always prioritize the safety of the public. I'm guessing this must have been some kind of one of these, like, toy things or some. I mean, they were, like, doing something.
It was a coconut.
It was just a coconut. It's not an explosive device.
I've been to this park. I've been to this park within the last couple of months. It's a nice park. You know, it's got a lighthouse. It's where the ferry comes in as well. You know, that it goes across to the islands and stuff like that. You know,
and you didn't leave any.
And there's some restaurants and stuff nearby. I did not leave any coconuts. I did not leave. You know, they didn't even say, like,
that must have floated there, right? There's not palm trees around there. Coconuts are not native.
Somebody must have brought a coconut from a grocery store.
Well, one thing, coconuts can float long distances, okay? And they do arrive at certain places. So you could get on a shore.
It was unclear from the article to me, like, was the guy who reported it wrong? Or did somebody actually take a real coconut, drill a hole in it, add something that looked like a fuse?
They did clarify that, but oh well.
But, you know, even so, like, Brandy pointed this out when I read the article. It's like, they made it into one of those, if they did make it to try to look like, quote unquote, a bomb, it was one of those cartoon bombs, like the little black round bomb with the fuse on it.
Exactly. The cartoon style bomb. I guess he thought that those are real from the cartoons.
Well, I presume the cartoon bombs were based on something that was real in the 30s or 40s or something.
Correctly, back the old cannonballs with a thing on them, exploded. Kind of look like that. Yeah, so, you know.
Although most cannonballs were just a bomb. Were just a ball.
They were just a ball. Yes, but there were like cannonballs that were kind of, if I remember, were explosive as well.
I'm sure they were explosive ones as well.
Yeah, it's called a round shot.
A round shot.
Okay. I see. Simply ball. No, this is the ball, which is a cannonball. Let me see. There's the explode. Hold on. Exploding cannonball.
Yeah, as we all Google things that'll get us on FBI watch lists.
How
do you make an old-fashioned round bomb, you know?
I guess, no, those were just in movies. Contrary to Hollywood films and popular lore, cannonballs did not explode on contact. Percussion fuses were not used in spherical projectiles. These shells in spherical case shot were designed to explode only when a flame reached their interior charged.
Okay.
Wait, but it does say, okay.
Article from 2016 from Atlas Obscura. Why we picture bombs as round black balls with a burning wick. I'm reading from it. In 1920, the popular newspaper comic strip, Jerry on the Job, was adapted by Bray Studios into a few animated films. In The Bomb Idea, Jerry and another character read that Bolshevik, are on the loose throughout the country and that all citizens should be on alert. Shortly after, a man arrives carrying a heavy black sphere. Jerry and his friend panic, assuming the item is a bomb, when eventually it is revealed to just be a bowling ball. But it's clear that by 1920, everybody knew what a bomb looked like. Except by 1920, bombs didn't really look like that anymore. They hadn't for nearly 50 years as nitroglycerin and dynamite began replacing black powder as the explosive of choice. However, the black spherical bomb wick burning slowly away to a boom has remained the understood image for an explosive from Looney Tunes to Adam West's Batman to jokes on Homestar Runner. This is what our bombs look like. They cartoon blah, 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 blah. But there's a diagram that of a bomb that looks like that in an 18th century French mortar bomb. Cartoons always relied on visual shorthand. Bombs actually did look like that for a while. According to Jack Kelly, historian and author of Gunpowder, Alchemy, Bombards, and Pyrotechnics, those bombs were specifically mortar bombs that used gunpowder, now referred to as black powder, as an explosive. The Civil War was the last great gunpowder war. Unignited, uncontained gunpowder will burn, but for it to explode, the gas pressure needed to be built up within a sealed container. Often a spherical one made the most sense since the shape was aerodynamic and could be made of two halves with one seal instead of a box with many sides.
So there were round with a little wick, okay?
And there were mortars, so often they were shot out of cannon-like devices as well.
Okay, so there you go. Okay, all right.
So good. Look on Atlas Obscura. I read a couple little bits of it, but the article is much longer and gives more detail. So there you go.
Okay.
I think we're done, Yvonne.
We're done.
So thanks, everybody, for joining us yet again. Please tune in next week. I haven't said this in a while, but tell your friends. I don't know, review us any place that reviews podcasts. Do people do that anymore? I don't know. Whatever. Stay safe. Have a great week. We'll be back next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, later, Yvonne. I'm hitting stop.
Bye.